And I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It is Wednesday. That means Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. That means get your requests in. It's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We will have another round of Know Your Onion. Tom is the host. He will read some news headlines to you, and you have to decide whether they are real or the onion. And you win prizes because of that. We're also going to, we got some food topics to jump into, including iconic fictional foods and some ridiculous publicity stunts by fast food companies. Olive Garden's some news there, too. We're also going to find out the it girl for every year. So if you're wondering who the it girl was, you know, the it girl, who the it girl was the year you were born, call us up and I'll look it up and we can all find out together who were the it girls at during certain years and then reminisce about that good old it girl stuff. So that's coming up. All of that and more, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page, which is the best way to stay connected. Like us now. It's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcast, too. It's free. Go to iTunes, wherever you get them. Subscribe. It'll automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. All right. You heard some Bill Withers, and you know what that means. Sports. Bill Withers. You know, when you think Bill Withers, you think sports. No, actually, you think Kevin Powell, who does WGN Sports here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis weekday afternoons. And he joins us periodically to just talk sports and catch up. It's always good to talk with Kevin. Kev, how are you, man?
Nick, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Always great talking to you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, listen, what year were you born? And we can look up your it girl later. I'm not going to do it now, but we'll do it later.
1989, Taylor Swift wrote an album about it. Great year.
All right, so we'll do. You can find out later. We'll let you know later who the it girl was.
Classic radio tease.
1916.
All right, I'm on the edge of my seat to find
that's right.
out.
Yeah, that's you know what, I'm really good at that kind of stuff. You know, I got a plaque in the sidewalk outside of the Tribune building because of stuff like that.
I know you do, Nick. You're the best.
All right, Kev, we got to talk sports, but before we do, tell everybody about your podcast, Paula at the Park, and what are the latest ones that they can get at WGNradio.com?
Yeah, the latest one is breaking down the trade deadline for both the White Sox and Cubs. And, you know, for the White Sox, it was interesting because they've been so active over the past few years as this rebuild has kind of, progressed over the past few years with the Chris Sale trade, the Jose Quintana trade, Adam Eaton. So they were selling off a lot of pieces to accumulate a lot of prospects, and they did just that. They're kind of done with this major overhaul where it is a major, you know, process of accumulating prospects and talents, where now it's kind of like the core and the foundation is here. They have that. So it was really a quiet deadline for the White Sox, which I think everybody kind of took a step back and said, it's fine. I mean, it's fine what they did. There really wasn't any other pieces to sell off at this point. You could have made a case for a couple guys here and there, but overall, that the team foundation is here, and I think, you know, this upcoming offseason, you're going to see them really be buyers in free agency. So a little bit different of an angle for the White Sox compared to previous years. And for the Cubs, look, they don't have a thick farm system right now, so they did basically about as much as they could. The big one is Nick Castellanos at the buzzer of the trade deadline, and he's been outstanding for them so far.
I mean, he hit a home run last night, too, in a game that's so – I mean, let me tell you something right now. Everybody on that team owes a personal apology to Q. To Quintana, because he pitched his ass off last night. 14 strikeouts, the highest of his career, and they couldn't score for him. They couldn't win the game. Oh,
yeah, it's sort of been the tune of Jose Quintana's career, where he just doesn't seem to get a ton of run support. And that was a shame to see. I mean, he battled out there for the Cubs. So yeah, as you mentioned, 14 strikeouts. I'm with you right there, and it's you know, this Cubs offense, the Cubs on the road are
terrible.
It's mind-boggling, and there's really no answers to be found. They've had a good road record under Joe Maddon. They've always played well in the second half of the season. They did salvage a split in Cincinnati, but it just, look, I don't know. There's no answers. Nobody seems to have an answer why they struggled so much away from Wrigley. I mean, look, teams are always, for the most part, going to play better at home. That's understandable. But not to this extent, where the Cubs haven't won a road series in a long time. So I don't know what's going on there, but
finish up with your what you were saying about Powell at the park, though. I interrupted you.
That was the gist of it. They did make about as many deals as they could make, considering what they had, you know, in their farm system. But so far, so good on Nick Castellanos. He's a kind of bat as we kind of try to figure out this offense for the Cubs, where it seems like. Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of their offensive numbers, they compare with some of the top teams in baseball, but some of the numbers are kind of skewed because they've scored in bunches, and when they don't score, they go cold. And look, this isn't something, this has kind of been going on for a year now. We saw it the second half of last year with the offense. We think about the final weekend, right, where they couldn't get anything going and they lost the division, they lost in the wild card. So I do love that Castellanos, that's a veteran bat. He provides power, doubles, all those sorts of things, and he's fitting right in. But, the road struggles are just, you can't really figure it out. But anyways, I had Tony Andracki from NBC Sports Chicago. We kind of talked all things Cubs and kind of looking forward to the end of the season. Broke down the trade deadline. Scott Merkin from MLB.com, who's been covering the White Sox for many years, does a great job there. So I checked in with both of those guys.
All
and
right.
You can listen to WGNRadio.com and basically anywhere you can find podcasts.
There you go. Powell at the Park. Great podcast, and Kevin hosts. Yeah. We're going to jump into baseball here and then specifically the Sox, because you last night you were at it was a very long day for Sox fans yesterday.
People
who were working at the station. But I just want to go through some of the insane first place teams here. How far above 500 some of these teams are. Like the Yankees. They're 39 games above 500. The Astros are like 37 games above 500, and there's a couple of more here. Dodgers.
Cleveland and Minnesota are all of a sudden in the American League Central. And look, the Twins had an 11-game lead on Cleveland in the AL Central at one point this year. Now they're pretty much deadlocked fighting for the division title. So,
yeah, I mean, you look at the NL, and again, insanity here. You look at the NL West, the Dodgers are 18.5 games up from the Diamondbacks, who are in second.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to take a deep dive into that, the record disparity. I mean, we're kind of seeing it in all sports now, and especially in baseball, where it's either you're ready to contend for a World Series or you are trying to lose as many games as you possibly can to restock your farm system. Look, you got two teams here. The White Sox and Astros, perfect example. I mean, the Astros lost over 100 games, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
They went through the rebuild.
Yeah.
And they built a powerhouse, though. I mean, they had accumulated so much talent, the George Springers, Altuve, Alex Bregman, those sorts of guys, and they won a World Series, and they're a complete powerhouse. And then you look at the Baltimore Orioles in the American League East, and the Yankees are just, they're toying with them. I think they've beaten them 13 straight games, and it's, look, you can have that. That's a whole other argument. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles right now, that's an embarrassment. That's not an MLB team right now. So, and then they can argue that, look, we're trying to get to where some of these other teams where, you know, what the Astros did, what the Cubs did. I mean, the Cubs did kind of had that blueprint as well, and now the White Sox. So it's kind of it's interesting where it's not every team does this, but there are, you know, a handful of teams. That, and look, it's hard to argue against it, right? Because if you're really bad for a few years, it does appear to pay off. I mean, the Cubs have been in the playoffs for 4 straight seasons, right?
Yep.
Multiple division titles. The Astros are World Series contenders now for a year, for many years to come. The Yankees are going to be the Yankees. It's kind of hard to argue against the blueprint, but I guess, you know, to your point, maybe that's why we are seeing such a huge gap in the record. I'd have to probably take a closer look at it year by year. But, yeah, it's kind of top-heavy, though. But there are some really, really good teams.
There's some really great teams. And some. Well, you mentioned the Orioles and the Tigers this year. My God. It's just embarrassing. Just terrible.
Yeah, the Tigers are a team that's kind of going through a rebuild as well. I mean, they traded away Justin Verlander. you know, they're in rebuild mode as well. So, is it good for the game? Is it bad for the game? It's tough when some of these teams come to town and you're watching and it's just some atrocious baseball.
Yeah.
But then you do get to see a team play like the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Astros, and they're just it's great baseball.
With the inconsistency of the Cubs on the road, I'm just happy that they're still a game up on the Cardinals. I mean, they could be worse.
Right.
This division is so ridiculously tight. We're going to be watching these standings every day through October.
Yeah, I think it's going to go, because the Cubs finished on the road too.
Yeah.
These are the last seven games on the road, and those are division games. It might kind of get decided again. I mean, just like last year, the last series against the Brewers determines the division, and that could potentially happen again. I mean, yeah, to the Cubs have caught a break where it looked like, anytime they fell into a rut, the Cardinals and Brewers also did.
Yeah, yeah.
And weren't able to make up some ground. So it is very tight. There's going to be some intense battles between these NL Central opponents over the next few weeks here. This season is flying by.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me, but to me, it's been an entertaining one. A lot of storylines. The Sox, have had some struggles, but they've been such a major improvement compared to last year, where they've been enjoyable to watch. So,
all right, listen, Kevin, we're going to take a break, and we were specifically going to jump into the White Sox. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Kev, hang on a second. Kevin Powell is with us. He does sports here on WGN. You can hear him every weekday afternoon on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, and you can also follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. All right, and get his podcast. Subscribe to his podcast. It's a great one, Powell at the Park. All right, we'll break. We got the news coming up. Then after the news, jump right back into sports with Kevin Powell right here on WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. You made Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. We'll play them a little bit later on. 312-981-7200. We got a bunch of food topics that we're going to get to, including iconic fictional foods and weird publicity stunts pulled by fast food companies. And we got some Olive Garden news. Also, if you want to find out what It Girl was hot the year that you were born, who was the It Girl? We're going to do that a little bit later on, talking about the It Girls for every year, going back, I think, to the 30s, that far back. And then, of course, we have another edition. It's Wednesday morning at 4:30. We will have Know Your Onion, where you have to tell the difference between a real news headline and an onion satirical fake news comedy headline. And the news is so weird in the real life that sometimes you can't tell the difference. So there you go. Let's get back to our conversation with Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell works right here at WGN Radio, covers sports for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes weekday afternoons, and joins us periodically to catch up on some sports stuff. And Kevin, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, thanks again, Nick. Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to get into some White Sox stuff here. First of all, let's talk about the doubleheader yesterday, last night. A long day for people who cover the White Sox, and a long day for the folks here at WGN and the engineers who work the games. It was a long set. Let's talk about what we saw in that doubleheader.
Yeah, well, Dylan Cease started game one, and here's a crazy little... Dylan Cease now has started three game one doubleheaders this season alone. He's had seven career starts.
Wow.
And somehow he started three career game one doubleheaders for the White Sox.
Wow.
It's insane. He was a little bit wild. He had five walks through six, but he pitched out of a lot of jams, and he only gave up two runs. And I think one of the things that's impressed me with Dylan Cease so far is that he has been able to pitch out of jams. His last two starts, his first innings have not gone well, but he's pitched out of bases-loaded situations. He did give up runs. He gave up the first batter of the game, hit a homer against him. But overall, you can tell he belongs. I mean, his command has been sort of an issue all season long where he does issue walks, but he does seem to find a way to pitch around those mistakes. And then after the game, I mean, A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, was asked about Cease, and he had nothing. He was raving about Dylan Cease. So You know, he's great arm. He thinks that his numbers are a bit misleading because for Dylan Cease, yeah, his numbers aren't all that impressive right now, but it's such a small sample size. And really, it's just been kind of a one-inning situation for Cease where he's given up a lot of runs and it's inflated his ERA, but it's way too early to focus on ERA for such a young pitcher.
Yeah.
And then Ivan Nova pitched the nightcap, and we asked Ivan Nova after the game what he thought of Dylan Cease, and he was like wide-eyed. He's like, I love everything about his game. So I think numbers not exactly there for Dylan Cease, but he's an impressive guy. I think he's got all the tools, all the pitches to be in a big-time major league pitcher, and he's getting there. And, yeah. You know, it's just 7 starts through his career, but so far I think overall pretty good for Cease. I don't think there's any reason to be panicked or any reason to – you know, anoint him as the next greatest pitcher ever, but I think he's certainly showing that he belongs.
Can we talk a little bit about his partner in the battery during yesterday's game?
Not great for Wellington Castillo.
Yeah.
He had three pass balls. One of them just went past his mitt and hit the umpire. Another one, I think, went past his mitt and hit the umpire's hand. We asked Ricky Renteria about it after the game. We didn't have a chance to talk to Wellington Castillo, but Ricky said that Wellington told him that it was just one of those days. I guess that's really all he could chalk it up to. But it was, look, you know, and I could make the argument, too, where James McCann has been such a great veteran presence behind home plate for all the White Sox pitchers. He was an all-star this year for the Sox. He knows how to manage the game. You know, it is. To make the case that McCann should be starting behind home plate for all of these young pitchers. Now, I know Ivan Nova, well, we'll get to the nightcap, but Ivan Nova ended up pitching a complete game. He's been outstanding, but he's also a veteran where he can probably work with a catcher who isn't doing his job as well. Compared to Cease, it's like, give him every advantage possible. So I don't know if moving forward they would say, okay, let's have McCann behind home plate for Cease and for Giolito and Lopez and those guys. He obviously can't start every game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not a great day for Wellington Castillo behind home plate.
No, it wasn't. Now, they're continuing to play the Astros. They got another game today at 1:10 against the Astros. And now, since they're playing the Astros, one of the best teams in the majors, people are talking about whether or not they can follow in the Astros' footsteps and go from the lowest to the best, and how soon can they do that? Is there a time frame that the Sox have, or are they just going along and thinking, hey, we can do what the Astros did?
Yeah, I think that's obviously the goal, the mindset I think a lot of the players in the organization have. I think they can. Look, 2020, I think when this whole thing started a few years ago, was the year everybody thought could be the year this thing gets really going and the wheels start turning. And I think the Sox have a really good shot next year of being a team that can contend for the playoffs. They really do. I don't think that's a stretch to say that, especially considering, I mean, you look at Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal, their top two positional prospects, just absolutely tore it up down in AAA last night in Charlotte. They both have worked their way through the farm system. Madrigal, I think, was like 3-for-6. Luis Robert went 5-for-6. He reached base 5 times. He was a homer shy of the cycle. Those guys are raking. So those two guys could probably factor into the equation. Luis Robert could be your starting center fielder opening day of 2020, and Nick Madrigal could be your starting second baseman, which means just about your positionally, Eloy Jimenez is in left, Luis Robert in center, and then Moncada third, Anderson short, Madrigal second, Jose Abreu first, and then your catchers McCann or even Zach Collins, who's another prospect. So you look at that, and then you look at most of the rotation is set, and all of that without them spending any significant money in free agency. So they have a whole full free agency ahead of adding a right fielder, adding some veteran guys, maybe landing. You know, Gerrit Cole, the Astros, is a guy that is going to be free agency. He'll be the top-targeted free agent pitcher. Sox will certainly go after a guy like that. You know, John Lester was a turning point for the Cubs where they were able to win him over, and the whole league was like, wow, Cubs got Lester. He was the big fish this offseason. Maybe the Sox will go in on a Gerrit Cole, who's been nothing but outstanding. He was scratched from the start tonight with a hamstring discomfort.
Right.
But my point is, like, that there's still The next step to this rebuild is free agent spending and adding free agents. And that part hasn't happened yet because there really was no reason to rush that. They tried with Manny Machado. They missed out. But who knows? Maybe they'll land a big free agent. But, yeah, I think they're right on track. I really do, Nick. I think, you know, look, you look at the game improvements from this time last year, it's significant. So yeah. I think they can make a pretty good jump next year.
You know, before we jump over to the Cubs here, are you going to Iowa to see the game of the Field of Dreams?
I am hoping and praying that I am. Hey, look, as a flagship station of your Chicago White Sox, I think we should get a little extra something. You know what I mean? Come on.
So, yeah, that sounds like that's just going to be a blast, right?
I am so pumped for that. I mean, I hope I can get a credential for it and cover the game for the station. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the way they're doing it, they're going to cut out a path from the center field, the original Field of Dreams, which is still there, of course, as a tourist attraction, and then they're building a temporary 8,000-seat stadium adjacent to it, and they're going to cut a path through this from, so you can basically walk from center field, from the original Field of Dreams, into the new ballpark.
Oh.
And the right field wall is going to be clear, so you'll be able to see the cornfields there. The dimensions of the temporary park are supposed to replicate that of the original Comiskey Park. There's just going to be a lot of cool little things. And look, they've already broke ground on this. So I think they're really trying to make this something special.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I don't know. I love the movie too, Nick.
Oh, me too.
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I really hope to be there. Yeah, for
you know,
sure. Obviously,
I love the movie. I also love the fact that they showed it at Comiskey. I keep calling it Comiskey. I'll always call it Comiskey. They showed it at Guaranteed Rate on Friday night after the game.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was fitting, and that's why they had that sort of odd 2:00 start was to accommodate that viewing the day after the big announcement. Now we know why they made the Field of Dreams screening, because they wanted to coordinate it with the announcement. You know, last year they did that too. It was, I believe it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was at the game. And after it, they had a screening of The Sandlot.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, the fireworks scene, right, where they want to play underneath the fireworks on the 4th of July,
because
it was the one game they could play under the lights, which, bit of a stretch, but whatever, we'll roll with it. It was pretty cool, because during the screening, during that scene, they blew off fireworks behind
the
ballpark.
That's
so, like,
cool.
Right above the screen, they had fireworks going. So it was pretty cool. You know, now that they have a massive video screen out in center field, I think they've been able to do some pretty cool things with it.
That's great. All right, Kev, hang on, okay, man?
All right, you got it.
Kevin Powell is with us. We'll get to the Cubs, and we want to talk Bears, too, because the Bears season is just around the corner, man. I can't believe it. Just around the corner, Bears season. We'll get into that. And a little Cubs news as well. We're talking sports here on 720 WGN with our good friend Kevin Powell. And we'll do more of that right after this.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio here on 720 WGN. It's Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We got some food topics that we're going to get to and much more. And, of course, after the 4:30 news, Know Your Onion. We'll get two separate contestants to come on, play around each, and some will win. But everybody... nobody goes away empty-handed. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Kevin Powell. He's from WGN Sports. He covers the sports scene for the Rokan Show with Ana de Volantes every weekday afternoon. Follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And let's get Kevin back in here. Hey, Kevin.
Pretty crazy to think. We're already talking Bears, and they've already got one game under the belt so far, Nick.
It always sneaks up on me. You know what I mean? Like when you know, like the preseason starts, everyone's like, "Man, it's still 90 degrees outside." And
right.
So, but let's do a couple of real quick Cubs related things here. Zobrist, he's running around in AAA right now, and they're thinking he might be back by the end of the month.
Yeah, end of August right now, so, you know, he's a veteran. He's going to tell them when he's good to go, but I think that'll be a huge boost for the Cubs if and when he does make it back to the bigs. But, yeah, he had a stint. He got bumped up to AAA, so he's going to have a little run with them for the next couple weeks, and we'll see where he's at. But they can certainly they're certainly going to enjoy his bat back in the lineup and his presence in the clubhouse.
Yeah. And it'll be nice to see him come back. I've always liked him. I mean, you know, co-MVP. Come on, man. You know,
right. Such a good guy. He's such a great clubhouse guy, respected by everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got some relievers who will be coming back, including Kimbrel. They might be back this week, right?
Yeah, last night in Philly, he threw a little bullpen session. And you know, his injury wasn't anything severe anyway. So it wasn't ever going to be a significant time miss for him. I think it was more precautionary, and it's appearing that way. So Kimbrel back soon, and, you know, just an electric arm. So he's huge for that bullpen.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping Wilson Contreras is going to come back pretty soon. He's just doing some drills now, right? And that's about it?
Yeah, some light drills. Obviously, they're going to be, you know, cautious with him as well. But he'll be back within the next, you know, maybe by the end of the month. We'll see. He was expected to miss about a month, so that would kind of be the timetable for him. So, you know, you're gonna get some bonus roster additions in Zobrist and Contreras coming up here in a couple weeks.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right, let's go to Bears. Everybody's getting excited. Are you excited, Kev?
Can't wait. Can't wait, Nick. You know, I've mentioned this really all off season. I haven't been this excited about an upcoming Bears season in a long time, maybe in my entire lifetime, to be honest with you. I'm not dismissing what the Urlacher teams did, but it just feels a little different. There's just so much talent on this team and a lot of good vibes. A couple question marks here and there, but for the most part, this team is just about set, except for that old kicker position, Nick.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're pretty much ready to rock and roll.
And, you know, there's some people talk about how Nagy is handling using the starters and getting their reps during games, as opposed to what he's really doing is having them just work their butts off in practice to get that in. And but some people kind of want to see the reps of playing in a preseason game actually happening, but he's kind of going in opposite direction in that.
Yeah, I'd be fine if all the regular starters don't play a single snap in the preseason.
Oh, okay.
I really would be completely fine with that. There's just it's just not worth the injury. It's not. I mean, you know, Roe and I were talking about it on the air last week, and as we were talking about it, a Detroit Lions player went down with an injury. He's probably going to miss the season. And that's a significant offensive player for Detroit. So it's like, it's just not worth it. I mean, the Khalil Mack, the Akeem Hicks, the Eddie Jacksons, Allen Robinson, maybe one series, and just a few plays, even if that. It's just too risky. Matt Nagy, even last preseason, showed he doesn't want to play these guys a whole lot. I think you just want to get to the regular season healthy. I think a lot of teams are starting to treat the preseason this way, and I think a big reason you're going to see the preseason trim from whether it's 4 games to 3 or 4 games to 2, where teams just don't prioritize it, you know, as much as you know, as they used to. There's the less fan interest, and I think there's just too much risk involved.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I saw an interview, a brief interview with Trubisky, who said that he's a little antsy about not playing. You know what I mean? Like he could not hide the fact that he would really like to be out there playing football during a preseason game, but he understands what Nagy's going for, and he's fine with it. But he did seem a little anxious, I have to say, when they interviewed him.
Yeah, no, you're right. I've listened back, and he said it a few times this offseason when asked about it, where he doesn't shy away from it. He just loves football. That's one thing I like about Trubisky. He's such a genuine football player. He loves the game. And that's really all he's been saying, is that he just wants to play. You know, it's like a kid at a playground watching all his friends play, and he can't play.
Yeah.
So I think that's just more of what he's kind of saying. And I think Matt Nagy's kind of just being like, let's just be smart about this.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, every time I see these guys now, any of these athletes now, I just feel so old. He's only 24, this guy. And and I look at the Blackhawks making moves, 18-year-old guys who look like they're 12. It's just incredible. It's incredible.
I know.
Hey, can we talk a little bit about the fight that happened on Tuesday morning at practice? What happened there, man?
Yeah, it was Prince Amukamara, the veteran defensive back, and Javon Wims, the second-year receiver. Just got a little heated. Javon Wims actually threw a few punches, and Prince Amukamara, who's one of the veterans of the team, was like, hey, I learned a long time ago it's never smart to punch a helmet. he was like, yeah, I got in a fight in college, because he just kind of stood there while Wims was losing it. But, you know, they all kind of shook it off. Look, this is football players. They've been beating up on each other now for a few weeks. I think this time of year, everybody's getting anxious to get the season going, to start playing other teams on a regular basis. They shook hands. They kind of shrugged it off. As Mitch Trubisky said, brothers fight, and that's accurate. So just things got a little heated, and yeah. I think, you know, after practice yesterday morning, it was pretty much everybody shrugged it off. I don't think it's anything really
to worry about. It's funny.
Football players hit each other for 3 weeks straight.
That's right.
You got to figure tempers will flare eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Even if you're on the same team, you know. But I love the quote. The quote was that came out of the whole incident was, sometimes the juices get flowing.
Right. Hey, it's football, man. You know, Akeem Hicks and Kyle Long got into, I don't think it was this heated, but those two, you know, Akeem Hicks and they're battling in the trenches. It's going to happen. You know, in the heat of the summer, you're down in Bourbonnais. You know, tempers are going to flare here and there, but yeah. I don't think it's anything really to worry about.
All right. Tiger Woods at Medina. What's going on? What was going on there?
Yeah, so this is the second leg of the PGA Tour's playoffs. They put this in, 8, 9 years ago, where it's sort of the end of the year a playoff where they have three tournaments and there's points rewarded and things like that. Tiger actually withdrew from the first leg of the playoffs last week with a mild oblique strain, but he showed up at Medina yesterday morning. He's supposed to play in a pro-am today and then tee off Thursday at Medina, where he's won two majors there in his career, 1999 and 2006. He won the PGA Championship. So Tiger Woods is in the Chicago area. If you're a golf junkie, get out to Medina Country Club. It is my golf heaven, Nick. I will be out there for sure this week. You get to see some of the best golfers in the world.
Yeah, well, I know that you've been there several times, and I know that you love that place. I've seen you post pictures and all that
my
cool
paradise.
Stuff. What makes Medina so special?
Probably how vast it is. The clubhouse is iconic. The iconic putting green. There's been so many major moments there, actual majors. As I mentioned, the PGA Championships, the Ryder Cup was there 7 years ago. Just so much history there. There's actually three courses. They're going to play number three, which is the championship course, and then they've remodeled one and two. It's just a huge, for as far as you look, you don't see anything but golf courses and landscape and greenery. You really don't see anything outside of the course. I mean, one hole is kind of runs along the street, but there's fences and the fence and some trees and things like that. It's like an oasis for, I think, for a lot of people. It's just sort of when you're at the clubhouse, you're kind of in the center of a golf mecca. I think for some, it might sound like I'm overselling it, but I think if you really love golf, it's just a special place.
No, I've heard that from people, many people, not just you. I'm not a golfer.
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer, so I don't know. But that is a consistent comment that people have about Medina.
Yeah, I'm dragging my brother there. He's a golf fan too. I'm like, hey man, you are not missing this. Let's go. He and I got to go Friday morning. We're gonna walk the course and just have a good time.
Very cool. All right, before we get out of here, let's talk quickly. Blackhawks. We're entering the second year with Colleton, and he is sticking to his guns. How are people feeling about this? I'm feeling good about this season.
I'm very excited for the season. You know, the Blackhawk convention felt different than it has in the past few years, where there's just a lot of positive energy. And the way last season, I don't want to say ended because they missed the playoffs, but the way it started to trend, where I think the teams bought into Jeremy Colleton, I think that gave you some hope as well. And, you know, the return of Andrew Shaw, me, there's just some good energy kind of starting to build with the Blackhawks again.
Yeah, well, it was weird because, you know, like last year was kind of crazy because, you know, like the shoes that Colleton had to fill were massive. And, for a while, people were kind of just, you know, not having it. And I was actually one of them. But he's
it's hard, man. Q's is such a beloved coach. And
this
town falls in love with coaches. The Dickas, the Phil Jacksons, you know, it's. You just fall in love with Q, and Q is perfect Chicago-style coach, right?
Yeah.
Very aggressive, blood's boiling on the bench, he's screaming at the ref, he's got the mustache, you fit the profile.
And he brought us three cups, man. I mean, under his guys, you know, there have been three Stanley Cups, so it was big time for me to alter the way I was feeling when Colleton came in.
Yeah. I really do believe that they've bought into his message.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I've talked to some people at the convention that are part of the organization. They said, yeah, maybe it took a little time, we'll admit to it, but I think really down the stretch, they played some pretty good hockey, Nick, and they found a way to even get back into playoff contention. Fell short, obviously, but
yeah. Well, yeah, I think, the last part of that season, every game counted last season. It drove
right.
me. It made me nuts.
And Blackhawks hockey again.
Yeah.
It was like a stretch where it was like, I can't remember the last time we watched a super high-intensity, high-leverage
yeah.
game, and every game was huge down the stretch. So
every one of them.
It's got me excited.
Yeah, very cool. All right, Kevin, always a pleasure, my friend. What are you working on now?
What am I working on now? We'll have more podcasts rolling. It's this baseball season. It's just kind of cruising through. So a lot of baseball stuff, some Bears stuff as well.
Yeah.
And the podcast will be pumping out too. So just kind of a busy time here, but it's just a fun time of the year.
You got it. All right. And we can hear you every weekday afternoon on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes and follow you on Twitter at KPowell720. Kevin, always a pleasure, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care. Kevin Powell, everybody. Hear him weekday afternoons right here on WGN doing sports. Great guy. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. The news is next.